Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and I hope entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3 Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. This is Investor Schooling Live with your host, Larry Steinhaus, CEO of Investor Schooling.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Oh, I said that way too fast. I didn't get any of the cool intro music, did I?
No, you just kind of just jumped in. I told you because you've been so like frustrated the last couple days that you need to take a step back and relax, maybe have a beer.
You think I'm frustrated?
Yeah, I think you're a little frustrated.
Why am I frustrated? I didn't even start the program yet. We're right into it.
Yeah.
But let me tell everybody who we are first before you tell everybody
exactly.
Why
I'm frustrated.
Exactly, because you started with saying this is Larry Steinhaus and Debbie's picture was on the screen.
I know, exactly. Exactly.
So everybody is very confused right now. She's not Larry Steinhaus.
But, you know, so the seven people who listen on the radio and the three people who watch us online was so confused. All right, let me start again. Good morning, everybody. This is Larry Steinhaus. Welcome to Investor Schooling Live. Yes, that's the show you're listening to. Yes, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I know, you used to hear us at 2 o'clock, or maybe 10 o'clock,
yeah.
Or maybe 2 o'clock, or maybe 10 o'clock. Who knows?
It's like a gamble every
time. Who knows?
Every week it's a gamble.
Yeah, who knows what time we're on. So I think it's 10, is it 10 o'clock now?
I think so,
yeah. It's 10 o'clock now. So,
yeah.
So it's a Saturday morning, and it's 10 o'clock, and I'm here with my partners, my co-host, Dr. Deborah Anderson, and of course, Dr. Deb, of course. Everybody calls her Dr. Deb. And of course, the crazy, and I want to kill him, Amri Murad.
Yes, correct.
So, hi, Amri.
You kill me all the time.
So what do? We talk about real estate investing. We talk about the stock market. We talk about the economy. And we talk about how to make more money. And then we talk about Amri.
And be financial independence.
Yes, be financially independent. So, Amri, what is the phone number if somebody wants to call in?
So we just changed it.
And
it's 855-939-1137. We changed it to the same number, so it will be easier for you. It's 855-939-1137.
That's why you keep Amri around, because he makes
you laugh. Just the voice.
Just the voice.
It's the voice. Look, you have your favorite fan is online already. Kimmy's
woo-hoo!
Already on.
So
if you're listening online,
Kimmy.
If you're listening or watching online, please let us know by just saying anything. Say hi, or if you have any questions online, you can do that as well. And of course, look, there's actually four people watching online right now.
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
At 10 o'clock in the morning.
There you go.
Isn't that cool? All right, so anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of things today, but real quick, why am I frustrated, Deb?
Well, over the last 2 days or so, Amri is being Amri, and Larry's being Larry, and the two of them sometimes they don't really mesh, which is interesting considering you guys are such close friends.
No, we are very good friends, which is probably the only reason I could stand him anymore, right?
Yeah.
And then, yesterday I said, Amri, Amri, Amri. Amri, Amri, right?
So, for those of you
and
who don't
for
know,
some reason, I'm still here.
It's because you keep showing up.
It's for some reason.
That's because we are good friends.
Yeah.
And I love you like a brother.
Yeah.
And you know how like brothers argue?
I do.
Right? You know, like when you, did you have brothers?
I have two brothers.
Right?
They used to beat each other up, all the time.
And they used to like hide their toys from each other.
No, they used
to
physically beat each other. They would wrestle to see who would like pin the other one.
Well, I'm getting ready to do that.
Okay.
I'm seriously getting ready to do that.
Okay.
So I will actually put something here because I wrote you an email, I think a week ago or maybe 10 days ago, about our relationship.
Okay.
About the fact that we are going to do something big together.
Yes.
Not as a friend.
Wait.
Just
be careful what you say there.
I don't want people to think
the wrong
thing.
My
mind did not even go there, but clearly yours did. So I think that's very interesting.
So the funny thing is, my wife never listened to the show, so I can say whatever.
I'm not worried about your wife. I'm worried about my reputation, you know?
And as two alphas, because we are two alphas, you and me, it's very hard for us to put our stand.
No, no, no.
In place.
No, no. You got the two words right. I'm an alpha. You're an annoying.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. I have to say I am surprised that you showed up today.
Okay.
Because I really didn't know if you would. So for those of you who don't know, we do have a meeting every Friday morning, you know, like an investor schooling meeting.
Yeah, to try to make the investor schooling better for everyone.
Right.
And Omri wants to make it worse for everyone.
And we were having our discussions and, you know, Omri was, I think he missed the point of the conversation and Larry got really upset and it was like a crazy blow up.
Right. So we you know, like 20 minutes before I blew up at Omri, we proved that 2 + 2 = 4. And then every 2 minutes, Omri would say, no, it's 5. Omri, I know. It's okay. Let's just go with 2 + 2 = 4. Blah, 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 blah. And then finally, he said it one more time. And I'm not going to say what we talked about. I'm just using an example.
Sure.
No, Larry, I think 2 + 2 = 5. And then I went, you, Omri, shut up. And then I was beat red, wasn't I?
You were very red.
Yeah, I was like, really annoyed.
You were very red.
For other people that are looking for their coaching with Larry, he's delightful. He is delightful.
So this is so for you guys who are listening to the show for the first time, because you know not all of the listeners who usually listen to 2 are listening at 10. Mm. You know, we actually have a lot of fun here. We're a good bunch of people. We teach people how to invest in real estate, how to invest in the stock market,
and we never yell at our students.
Sometimes,
everyone.
Well, not when you're coaching.
You know, we don't,
unless
you know,
they no, come no, for no. the first time for class.
No, most of the time, we go, you win, right? Because they make money. All right, anyway, I guess that was bad.
No, that was
every once in a while, I just have a bad joke. And all right, I'm gonna leave now.
So if you missed it, If you missed it, you see that the voice machine is working.
I'm having fun with the sound effects today. Right?
This is what we do here on the show. We just
move okay. on. All right, let's get back to some serious talk, though. Okay. So, real quick, let me give the phone number again. 855-939-1137. So, if anybody wants to call in.
It's 855-939-1137.
Four more times?
Yes. It's $4. 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137. Please call.
I think that only works for girls. That only works for girls. The whole dollar in the bra thing.
In the bra?
Yeah, you know, you're like $4. It only works for girls. I'm not going to give a guy a dollar, but you guy would give a girl a dollar for something like that.
Oh my God. I have no idea what you're saying.
Really?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, a dollar for why? To get your phone number?
Let's just move past it. Never mind.
No. Now I'm intrigued. What is it? Maybe I'm doing it all wrong.
No, like at a strip club, you know, the guys give the girls a dollar. Girls don't.
We have really gone far from away from when this
from real estate exactly.
What you're talking about now?
For right. saying the right, number.
Wait, wait. Let's get off this topic before
For
I have
people
to...
that don't see us online. We are all dressed here. Just
stop it. All right.
Start.
Let's go to real estate for a second.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I know it's an unusual topic for us to talk about, but let's talk about it now, okay? All right. So I want to talk about something called the Burr method. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the Burr method is?
Of course.
What is it?
Buy.
Right.
Rent.
Well, not
no,
exactly.
renovate. Rent. Refinance.
And repeat.
And repeat. Exactly,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So this is something that's been talked about for a really long time. So it's the Burr, buy, rehab, rent, renovate. I'm sorry. Refinance and repeat, right? Buy, mm-hmm. rehab, rent, refinance and repeat.
That's actually something that many investors here sell to Israelis in Israel.
Interesting. That's very interesting. But we may get back into that for a second. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about what this is. I want to talk about why I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very scary proposition. Now, you know, I'm old school, right? I've been doing this for 42 years. I've been investing in real estate for 42 years. And we used to call this buy a property, let it build some equity, and take the equity out. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But what this has turned into is people are using, they're using short-term lenders like hard money lenders. So, for example, they buy a property for $100,000 and they have to put, let's say they have to put $50,000 into it. And when it's done, it might be worth 2.25, right? That's just average normal numbers.
Okay.
So they go to a hard money lender, which is hard money lenders are charging like 15% interest because they can't go to a regular bank because they don't know how to get, because a regular bank won't handle this kind of a renovate, you know, won't handle this kind of a loan because of the risk, right? Because they know, hey, the property's not renovated now. It may be difficult for them to renovate it. This person may be new at doing it. So they go to a hard money lender. The hard money lender does their own kind of underwriting and says, that's great, but here, but you want to charge you 15%.
Are you? I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you. Are you talking about the first deal that they are doing or the second?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what deal it is. Let me explain what the problem is. Because it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if it's your first deal or your 100th deal. And I'll explain why.
Okay.
So, and let's just, for example, let's just talk about your first, second, or third deal, whatever it might be.
Because the first, they would have to bring money from home or from a loan. Exactly.
A hard money lender doesn't ever give you 100%.
I know.
They'll give you typically 70 to 75% at a really high interest rate. So you're bringing money in from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the hard money lender will do it, because they know that most of the risk is on you. Because if they lend you for $100,000 property, they lend you $75,000. They know that they could sell that property for $100,000 even if you didn't finish the renovations. So they have very little risk. They put the risk on you, which is the $25,000 you put up plus closing costs.
Okay.
But so let's talk about this for a second. So they buy the property and they get their hard money loan, and maybe they get hard money, maybe the hard money loan even includes some of the renovations.
Yes.
Here's what happens. With a hard money lender, typically you have a very short time period that you're allowed to have that loan for, which is typically anywhere up to a year. And let's use the year as the example. So you borrow money from this hard money lender, and you start renovating the property.
Okay.
And you run into trouble. Maybe it takes you more than a year to renovate the property. It should never take you more than a year to renovate a property.
Of course.
But I've seen this again and again and again. Now remember, your goal is to buy this property, rehab it, rent it, and then refinance to get yourself out of this hard money loan. Right? That's what the Burr method is.
That's why I ask if this is the first deal, because I was pretty sure you're using the refinance for the next property.
You are.
You're never going to a hard money lender.
That's what the concept is. But the hard money lender, you still may need a hard money lender because you'll only be able to take a small amount out of the property anyway. From the bank, right.
I understand.
All right. So now you go ahead and you do this and you have trouble. You have trouble renovating it. You miscalculated your
renovation rehab costs.
Everybody does that, right? You miscalculate your rehab costs.
Of course.
Right? Or the one that most people, and I've been saying this for years, and of course, because of the way the economy went after COVID, I've been saying this right before COVID, I was saying this, that you're going to get burnt. You're going to get burnt. And this is what's going to happen. A year's going to go by, so you buy a property today, you do everything right, and you're ready to renovate this property, and two things happen. One is the property values go down, which are about to go down.
They are.
Right?
They're already
going down, but they're about, this spring will show, you'll actually see it. Where last spring you didn't quite see it, this spring you'll actually see it. Or you don't qualify for a mortgage anymore because something happened to your credit, or the banks stopped doing loans for some reason on this type of property. And that's the problem I have with the Burr method. It's a very scary proposition. Now, it's really funny because I have a friend. I don't know if you know Joe Kraut?
The name rings a bell.
Yeah, so Joel Kraut, actually, it's interesting, because about five years ago...
He's the ball guy.
Yeah, he's the ball guy, right.
Yeah,
so
I know,
Joel
yeah.
Kraut, about 5 years ago, changed the name of his company. He has a mortgage company, and he changed the name of his company to Burr Loans, right? B-R-R-R-R Loans, which I think is actually a brilliant name.
Yeah.
Right? But, because, if you think about it, right, so everybody talks about the Burr method, and you got to remember that all the gurus out there, the Burr method. And it's funny, because everything I teach is almost the opposite of what everybody else is teaching, or at least if I teach it, I teach it legally, ethically, and morally, where some of these guys aren't, which we had this whole conversation the other day in class about that.
Correct.
Right, but Joel created this company called Burr Loans, which I think is a brilliant name. The real question is whether, if other people start to feel the way I feel, whether he's going to have struggle with that name or not. But the name is great because it's so easy, because people say, this guy must have been around for a really long time because he has the name Burr Loans, right? Wouldn't that make sense, right?
Yeah. He bring the money from conventional mortgages?
Right. So what he's doing is he's the guy, the refinance guy. So he's the guy you go to after the hard money lender. You go to him and you get the money, from him to refinance out.
Amazing.
Now, what I really suggest people do is not do any of this. Right? You could go to Joel and get a regular loan. That's fine. But you go to a private money lender and you get a loan for a long period of time, like 5 years. I mean, I teach this all the time in class. When I'm teaching in class that you go to a private money lender and you borrow money for a long period of time, minimum 5 years. If you have to settle for 3 years, fine. But I would never take a loan from anybody for less than 3 years. because I don't want this to happen to me. I don't want to be in a situation where I can't refinance out of that loan.
Correct.
Now, the interesting part is most of my lenders who lend me money, at the end of the term, they're like, oh, can we keep this loan going? Because they're used to getting that payment. They love that payment.
They want the percentage.
Right. They want that payment every month, and it's a great payment. Yeah. Now, sometimes I refinance a property. Well, I probably never refinance a property, which is kind of funny. But I did 2 years ago when interest rates were 3.5%. I said, this is the last time I'm getting 3.5%. So I refinanced 13 of my properties. And when I say I refinanced 13 of my properties, the only reason I only refinanced 13 of my properties is because the banks will only let you refinance 10. I was able to get three more done because I kind of knew how to, you know, kind of like weave through the rules a little bit.
Yeah.
But that was it. I couldn't get any more done, more than 13. So I refinanced 13 properties at 3.5%. So it made it easier for me. And of course, you know, those properties are great because every month I put a lot of principal down. Now, some of my adjustable loans, like my HELOCs, I'm not getting killed on. Big deal. They're 8%. It's not a big deal. But it's, you know, I was used to 3.5% for a little while, and that was nice. So now it's a little bit different. So that's why I'm not a big fan of Burr. And if you're, check it out. Joel Crouch on the phone. What's up, Joel?
Larry, can you hear me?
I can. What's going on, man?
So I get a call.
By the way, everybody, real quick, in case you didn't hear me, this is Joel Crouch. He was now there's 8 people listening because Joel was listening to us today. So we were talking about you, Joel. I guess you heard us, huh?
Somebody called me out of Philadelphia. I'm headed down there for a mastermind event today.
Cool.
They're like, Larry, the Swami's on the phone, on the air, and he just talked about you. You should give him a call, see what's going on.
That's cool. That's pretty cool.
That's great.
Well, so you weren't listening to us. So it's only 7 people listening to us, not 8 then.
Okay.
So I don't, how much of that did you hear?
I didn't really hear anything. They just told me you just used our company name and myself on the air. And
oh, that's
talking
funny.
About the Burr method, so I should call in to defend myself, they told me.
So you're not the problem. I actually said you were brilliant for using so the name of your company is Burr Loans, right?
That is the name. We actually own Burr.com. So we got very fortunate about 5 years ago. Bigger Pockets, even though they coined it, use it, publicized it, they actually never bought the URL. And we were online one night, and we figured out, and we used an intermediary to go buy it from someone who just collected a lot of URL names.
I have to ask, how many R's there is after your B?
There's 4 R's.
4 R's.
Wow, that's a great URL.
So he did it exactly the way it's spelled, B-R-R-R-R.
Amazing.
Yeah, so that's great. So, But you're not the hard money lender, right? You're not the hard money lender. You're the guy who gets them out of the hard money loan, right?
We do the hard money loans, but that's only about 20-25% of our business. Most of it is really to cash out refis around the country.
Yeah, which is what we're talking about, right? So I'm curious because I didn't know you did hard money loans also. So this might be an interesting ethical predicament for you. If you do a hard money loan for somebody, and their intention is to refinance it 8 to 12 months from now, and you can't do it for them, how do you reconcile that?
So it's an interesting thing that's obviously coming up now and becoming more prevalent as the markets have cooled off and changed a little bit. One of the things that we're doing is trying to stay on the hard money side to loans that make sense. What do I mean by that? Small renovation budgets relative to the purchase price. We're trying to stay away from the upside down deals where someone buys a house for $50,000-$60,000 and then goes and wants to put in $120,000. Yes. We'd rather do that the other way around. Buy it from a wholesaler for $80,000, $100,000, renovate it for $40,000 to help you get back to the market quickly. With us, if you do that, there's no seasoning. So I can refinance you to full market value as soon as you're stabilized. I don't have to wait 6 months or a year.
Okay, so real quick, so everybody else knows, you're talking about seasoning. You kind of said it. Seasoning is if you buy a house today for $100,000 and tomorrow it gets reappraised at $1 million. You can only refinance it for the up to the $100,000 for at least 6 months, sometimes a year, with certain banks. So that's what he's talking about when he says seasoning. It's either 6 months or a year, and that's pretty common, the seasoning. So what you're saying though is, in your case, you can refinance them out of it without seasoning.
That's right. The fastest person we've had so far was in Philadelphia. On the 44th day, we gave them 75% of the new market value.
That's awesome, man. That's actually, that alone would have me refer you. Because that's brilliant.
Well, we have a lot of trouble with that. We also can do the hard money loan, no appraisal, which is insane but true. You know, we're sort of at that point of inflection in the market where things change. And oddly enough, in our space, the private direct space, it, for most of us, it's actually getting easier, not harder to borrow, which has me a little nervous. That's true. Larry and I have been around for, I'm not around as long as Larry, but 27, 8 years is still a long time. And,
how old are you?
Part of 3 decades. I just turned 60.
I just turned 60 too. So I just wanted to say one thing. I still have some of my hair.
Stop.
Yes. You haven't done as many loans, I guess.
Right, yeah, probably.
But, all kidding aside for a second, you know, with the government's change on the Section 8 side around the country, I just went through the math with a lot of people from different sectors of our country, and it's actually gotten better as a rate of return, your cash-on-cash return now, than it was at 4% interest rates on the 30-year deal. I know that sounds insane, but if you look at the big jump, almost a meteoric jump in rents, it's kind of crazy on that side. So the Section 8 returns now are just fantastic.
Insane.
Again, yeah, you're doing a lot of Section 8. Well, you know,
I don't do a lot of Section 8.
Right.
The last two that I did are Section 8, and it's because I got amazed by so Section 8 has a table of how much they will pay for each size apartment according to the zip code, what we call the HUD user, HUD prices. Their HUD prices went up in the last 2 years dramatically.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Dramatically.
I'm actually interviewing somebody for Section 8 for my condo in Lansdale tomorrow, which is unusual because I usually say the same thing to anybody who comes to me Section 8. I said, they're not going to pay that much.
Exactly.
She called her social worker. The caseworker.
The caseworker
called me and said, oh yeah, we'll pay that much. I'm like, okay, I'll see you then.
It was just amazing yeah. Because you used to deduct from this price all the utilities and all that, and you said it will never be the same as the market value for the rent of this place.
Right.
And it is right now. It's much higher, and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it. And you see that the Section 8 tenant, by the way, know this. They come with the voucher right now, like they have something in the hand. They know they have power in their hand. They know that you want them.
So I actually, this woman called me. So I know we're off on a different topic. But Joe, how did you get 10 minutes of airtime on my show without paying me, by the way? Well, you know what? You can stick around for a couple minutes.
By the way, if anybody else...
I know, I'm just a nice guy, but next time you're paying for this ad, man. But anyway, hold on 1 second. Let me just give anybody a phone number. 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137. Actually, we got Joe. If you got anybody wants to call about mortgages, he's probably a great person to ask. He does mortgages, everything from hard money to traditional bank loans and commercial loans too, right? So 855-939-1137. You're welcome to ask Joe some questions or us any questions about anything. And I kind of lost where I was. Where was I talking about?
We talked about Section 8.
You know what?
Exactly.
Oh, I know what it was. So this woman calls me up, and she's the nicest person. I mean, like, so nice. She called me and says, in the nicest, sweetest voice, can you help me? I'm Section 8. And I said, look, here's the situation. The situation is, you know, it happens to me all the time. People want to say, I have no problem against Section 8. I actually like Section 8.
Of course.
And it's funny because a lot of landlords don't. And landlords can actually say, I don't want Section 8, which I don't like that. I mean, they want to change the law that says that they have to, but I'm kind of like on the fence on that. I just think if anybody qualifies, and even if they qualify with government money, who cares?
Who cares?
You take them. But to me, they never were able to pay that amount of money. Now, so I said to her, look, they're not gonna, the caseworker calls me, and it's so funny because the caseworker goes, and she goes, hi, whatever her name is, Evelyn, whatever her name was. Hi, I'm Evelyn from such and such a case, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, this woman, blah, 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 blah. And she just goes on with, she's a really sweet woman. She has a kid. She's like, da, 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 da. I said, stop. I said, I love the woman. She's wonderful. Tell me you can pay the amount, and I'll take her. That's how those conversations went. And then we went down, we did some of the math, and, you know, it's a little tight, but we could probably get her in. So if tomorrow she likes the place, because I told her to come see it tomorrow, if she likes the place and the caseworker could get her that much money and get me the first month, last month, and 1 month security, I'm good. I'll take her, and I'm actually looking forward to it, because I haven't done Section 8 in a really long time.
Where is it?
This is in Lansdowne.
Amazing.
So I have two questions, actually, sure, for Section 8, because I was thinking about doing Section 8 for that one, because I'm evicting that one lady. Question one is, do they pay for utilities also?
No, so they do, but they don't.
Who is they? Like, does the...
So the government, the county...
Right, right.
There's certain... It all depends on who they're getting the money from. This one happens to be getting it from the VA.
Okay.
So they will pay for part of utilities, but it's a separate bill.
Okay.
So what they do is they come up with a combined number of what they'll pay out. So the rent and plus the utilities is some combined number. And then I quickly say, look, I'm not paying the utilities. So they pull out an average of the utilities, they pull that back out of the number, and then they tell you they're going to pay. And then sometimes they pay a little bit. Like, this woman's going to have to pay a little bit. I think she has to pay $300 of the $1,800 rent. And then she pays her utilities and blah, blah, blah. But I think they pay a portion of the utilities too.
And it can change along the way, which means that if tomorrow she gets a job with this nice lady, she will get a job that brings her more money. Section A say, okay, she's not qualified for this assistant anymore. She's qualifying for less assistant. Okay. So you will get a letter in the mail. They will tell you, now we will only pay $500 and she will pay the $1,000.
Okay. Bring your microphone just slightly closer.
It can happen too.
Okay.
Yes, right. And Section 8 also can't help them with security deposit or last rent.
Okay, and then my second question is, you know how we usually do, you know, it's $500 or $1,000 to hold the apartment. Do you still do that for Section 8?
I still do it for Section 8.
So it's kind of weird because... So I actually told her to bring $1,000 with her tomorrow. But if she doesn't, and there's nobody else behind her, on Monday I'm going to call and say yes. So, you know, then I'll be waiting for the money.
But the deposit is also as part of the security. You won't let her move in without the security.
No, she can't move in security.
Exactly.
I have security first month and last month. That's fine. And Section 8 will cover that.
So you want to see the commitment to pay the security. I think that's why...
You know, I know, but the only reason because it's Section 8, it's odd. It's different. It's slightly different. The thing, you know, not the rules. My own personal rules are different. But I'm going to see how it plays out because I haven't been on a Section 8 system in a really long time. Right. So, Joe, real quick. So, since we gave you all this free airtime, you might as well plug yourself. How do people get a hold of you?
The easiest way is my direct number, 732-598-0351, where they can simply just go to burr.com and communicate with us right there. We get back to everybody the same day. Usually takes 4 hours. But at burr.com, that's the easiest way.
It's 4 R's, right?
4 R's, yes, young man.
All right, cool.
We need to talk to him about our Eddystone deal, maybe.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know what? We got a deal for you. Give me a call during the week. We got a deal for you. We're buying a 23-unit apartment building, and we might need some help with
it.
All right, cool. All right,
Larry,
well, I'm gonna stop you.
Where does the other gentleman invest?
Wait, what? Oh, Omri is...
I'm mainly in Norristown and Delaware County.
His name is Omri. Ken?
Okay. We just had somebody with a 4-bedroom, 1-bath house at 1900 on Section 8 with a $125,000 loan in Philadelphia. So... The numbers, he's right. The numbers have really skyrocketed in the last 24 months, but especially October 1st of this past year, that was the big, big increase.
Yes.
Cool. All right, Joe,
anyway,
you're making too much noise.
I appreciate the opportunity. Sorry.
You're making too much noise because you're using your Bluetooth and we can hear the road noise. So, you know, it's really annoying that we spend all this money to have a beautiful studio built and we got to hear your road noise. So we're kicking your ass off the phone and there we go. He's gone. And then
it's very refreshing to see that you are
what?
It's very refreshing to see that you are rude to other people. I have to say that. It makes me feel so good. Yeah. I was crying in the shower today. I was pretty sure something is wrong about me. I see that.
All right, let's see this. Let's go to a commercial and we'll come back in 2 minutes. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Are you afraid of the Great Reset? Well, the Great Reset won't apply to those who own real assets. At Investor Schooling, we teach you how to own real assets like real estate, gold, silver, and other investments, including stocks, stock options, and even the basics of cryptocurrency. We even teach you how to pay thousands less in taxes legally. So go to InvestorSchooling.com and find out how you can attend a complimentary class this Thursday. InvestorSchooling.com. This is Larry Steinitz, and you have probably heard my radio shows and listened to my great advice on how you can make more money and pay less taxes. Well, I just finished writing a book on all things I teach at Investor Schooling and on my radio shows. This book is called Money Hacks, and you want a copy of this book, and you can pre-order this book wherever books are sold. Look for Money Hacks by Larry Steinitz. Hey, it might even be a tax deduction. Order Money Hacks by Larry Steinitz wherever books are sold, and come see me at Investor Schooling. This is Larry Steinitz from Investor Schooling. Are you tired of being broke? If you're tired of being broke, go to InvestorSchooling.com, sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday, and learn how not to be broke. That's right. Go to InvestorSchooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday. And if you have any questions, you can call us at 215-876-3002, 215-876-3002. Go to InvestorSchooling.com, sign up for this Thursday, and learn how not to be broke. InvestorSchooling.com. This is Larry Steinitz from Investor Schooling, and I'm so excited when our students do well. Listen to this student and listen to what he has to say about Investor Schooling.
I sold one of my properties last October, doubled my money, and what I did, I invested into another property and then closed on a refi, and I wrote myself a checkout for $118,000.
That's awesome. I'm so excited. And if you want to find out more about Investor Schooling, go to InvestorSchooling.com, and we will see you Thursday night, and we will help you any way we can. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. The opportunity to retire with a great big real estate portfolio is coming quickly, and you want to learn how to do it. We all know the downturn is around the corner. What does that mean to you? You need to learn how to take advantage of this opportunity, like how to buy discounted properties with absolutely no money out of your pocket. Can it be done? Yes, it can. Can you learn how to do it? Yes, you can. Go to InvestorSchooling.com and find out how you can attend a complimentary class this Thursday. InvestorSchooling.com. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Investor Schooling Live. This is Larry Steinitz. I am the CEO of Investor Schooling. I'm here with Dr. Deb Anderson and Ami Marad, and we are talking about
the
Burr Method. And we were saying how I'm very nervous of people who are doing the Burr Method because they're going to get burnt. And we had a nice guest visitor, Joel Kraut called us from Burr Loans. And that was kind of cool. We had a nice conversation about that, too. And if you want to call in with anything you want to talk about, 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. All right, Army, three more times.
It's 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. Please call.
One more.
855-939-1137. 11:37.
Oh, I can't wait for the switchboard to light up from all the women that you turned on with your voice.
My God.
Yeah, do I have to give you $3?
So by the way, somebody asked me online, they're saying, hey, do you believe the housing market will be readjusting soon?
It has been.
It's already readjusting.
It is.
The real question is that I think you really want to know is what do I think the spring market's going to bring? So I have predicted this accurately every single time. Last spring, I said this is what's going to happen. Last spring, and what happened is exactly that. If you had two equal houses, they were exactly the same exact neighborhood, same exact house, and they were listed for same exact price. One of those houses would sell overnight, maybe even be a bidding war, and the other one might even be having to get less than the asking price. And that's exactly what happened. This spring. Unfortunately, everything is probably going to go for less than asking price. Now, there's two reasons it's going to go less than asking price. One is, yes, housing is going down. And the other one is the sellers are still going to be under the preconceived notion that their house is worth more, and it's not anymore. So if their house equaled, $600,000 at the peak, and they said, I'm going to sell my house for $600,000, but I'm going to stay here for a little while and just wait till it gets better, and all of a sudden they have to sell, they might be selling their house for $550,000.
Yeah.
And they might not even be selling the house for $550,000. There might be less.
So, a question for you about that.
Do you think it will make our inventory problem even worse? Because if someone won't get the money they want for their house, maybe they will rather stick with it.
So
that's
the
my worry.
Right. So the inventory problem Army's talking about is the fact that there are no houses on the market. That's the only thing keeping the market up right now.
Yeah.
If there were houses on the market, the market would tank.
Mm-hmm.
So here's if you think about it, right? So mostly, I look at my house now. I'm about to say what not really true, but for most people it is true. So if I looked at my house and what I'm paying for my house a month, the mortgage on my house for a month right now, I cannot buy my house right now. Let's put it this way. If I was to buy my house right now, my mortgage payment would be more than double what I'm paying now.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. If you can't even afford your own house, now you can afford your own house because you bought it 6, 7, 8 years ago and you bought it for a certain price, you have a certain mortgage payment.
Yeah.
Right. But if you went to buy your house right now on your current salary, you can't buy your house right now on your current salary.
Yeah.
So you can't move, because if you're going to move, you're most likely moving into a bigger house, right?
You want to improve.
Right, because you want to improve. So why would you move? The only thing you could do now is move into a small house. And there is downsizing. But if I'm going to downsize from a big house, let's say a 3,000 square foot house,
yeah,
to a 1,200 square foot condo, it's going to cost me the same amount of money. So if I'm paying, whatever, $2,500 a month now for a $3,000 house, square foot,
yeah,
house, and I'm going to pay $2,500 a month for a 1,200 square foot condo.
So what's the motivation?
Why would I move?
Exactly.
Right. So that's why there's no inventory right now, and that's the problem. Now, when inventory starts to come will be when housing prices start to go down because people not being able to make their payments. Foreclosures are up again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know the exact number yet because I want to do some research because, you know, the,
yeah,
news is kind of dramatic. Foreclosures are up 40%. Well, that's because during COVID, there was zero
exactly,
right?
Yes.
So if you added 10 foreclosures, you know, and now there were 20, they doubled, right?
Yes.
And then the news will exaggerate that. Say, foreclosures are double what they used to be. Well, yeah, but that's not really true. So I really want to know what they were 2017, 2018, and what they are now.
I can tell you that the last sheriff's sale in Bucks County, okay, the list has, I think, like 100 houses.
That's all.
It used to be 40.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It increased.
So that's interesting.
You talk about before this pandemic, that exactly,
right.
It was a big number.
Right. So the sheriff's sale houses are going up, which is good.
Yeah.
Not good for people, but
of course,
good for investors, of course, right?
No, yeah.
Now look, you also have to understand that we're not buying houses or sheriff's sales.
No,
it's not my thing. Sheriff's sales are a great place to buy houses. I have no problem with it. It's just not my thing. You know, I like to buy them before they go to the sheriff's sale. So I like to find the owners that are in distress and do it.
I like to do the tax deed sales, so I'm all for them. Not sheriff sales, so they're not sheriff.
It's not the same thing, of course.
For the tax deed sales. So I was talking how I wanted to say something about that REO that I just got.
Yeah.
And I wanted
to... All right, so real quick, so you said REO. Let's explain what an REO is.
So Omri was supposed to ask me what REO was, and you asked me before.
Yeah, exactly, okay. And I haven't got the answer.
So REO stands for real estate owned. So
by the bank.
Right. Why don't you explain it, Larry?
Well, no, it was just that you didn't finish.
I got interrupted. It's kind of like a common theme here.
So it's not only me that not allow you to finish a sentence.
Wait, what's the matter, Deb? Are we not letting you talk?
I keep thinking.
Hold on. This is for you.
You're such a small...
You can say this,
you
on
know,
air?
Schmuck, I can say.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny how we had this conversation on your birthday party Monday, and Larry says to me how all the success in my life and all the people I know are all because of him, and I should be grateful and thankful. Go ahead, now put the crying baby, because apparently I owe my whole entire life to you.
No.
You can really say this word online?
What?
No, don't say it again.
Don't say it
I'm
again.
Not sure you can, so don't say it again.
Exactly. And you said it in a restaurant in front of a contractor, and I wanted to bury myself under the table this week. When
all
was
right, let's get back
Tuesday.
To Tuesday. I don't want to explain stories that...
No, exactly.
You like to get into stories without explaining the stories. You got to tell the backstory before you get to the punchline.
Exactly.
You know?
Debbie, now you.
You want to talk about your REO?
Okay, so I purchased a property, an REO, which is a real estate owned property. So what happened was that this property went through foreclosure sale. It did not sell at a foreclosure auction, so the bank actually had it back. So when you get properties that way, they're usually much cheaper than what they're worth. You know, like you get it like 40 or 50 cents on the dollar.
So real quick, just to give another explanation. So when the bank buys a property, when it goes to sheriff's sale or goes to the auction, to foreclosure auction, the bank does not want the property.
Right.
They don't want it. Okay. And sometimes they'll buy it because they want to move on. Sometimes they'll just try to go to another foreclosure sale and let the person live there another 3 or 4 months.
Or they won't get maybe the price they want.
Right. So, but most of the time they're going to buy it and they don't want to own properties.
Right.
Banks don't like to own properties. It's completely against their business model.
Right. They're
so they want to get rid of it as soon as they can. Right.
Yeah.
So now you had a connection to the bank. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I received a tape, which is a list of a bunch of REO properties, and I bid on a couple of them, and they accepted my one. Well, they countered my one bid. So I said, I'll pay you, I don't know, let's just say I offered $70,000, and they said, or no, I think I maybe offered $50,000, and they said, well, we want more, and I said, well, what are you asking for? And then we went back and forth and agreed on a price. So the price that I paid for this property was $58,000.
So tell us about the property.
So it's a 3-bedroom, it's a rancher, it's actually out in Illinois. It's in a little bit of a, like a farm town. You know, usually I made a mistake in that I wanted it to be a little bit higher population, so I usually like to go for over 100,000 population, and I think this was like 87, but you know, whatever, it should be fine. Anyway, so I got the property, I signed all the paperwork, I got it insured yesterday, it's insured, so everything, in case something happens, the place is fully insured.
Is it empty?
It's vacant, yes. I for REO properties, I only want like vacant properties because mm-hmm. You don't have to deal with anything. So the goal for this property, I originally talked to my JV partner, I said, I'm going to get this property and we're just going to sell it off and get rid of it and make a profit on it. So I plan on selling it for about 105, and it should...
Wow.
Yeah, it should probably go for a little bit higher, but I'm happy at 100, 105.
How much do you have to put into it to sell it at 105?
Nothing.
Okay, so you're just going to sell it outright.
I'm selling it outright.
Beautiful. That's fantastic. That's
wow. An awesome deal. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, selling it outright.
Well, if she went to a JV partner, do you think she would have came to us? And she would have said, hey, give us, you know, $58,000 and we'll split the difference?
Every time I come to you, you don't like my deals.
No. So you didn't come to me with this one.
Exactly.
You finally came with a good one and you didn't come to me with it.
Exactly. I did not come to you with this one. Mm-hmm. No. I did not come to you with this one. So anyway, it's so $58,000. It should go for about $100,000.
Okay.
I got the insurance all insured as of yesterday. It got insured. I have the property preservation team coming out next week. So they're going to winterize the property just in case because it's in Illinois. It gets cold there. And I already had the real estate agent went out and I told her to put your coming soon sign out. So I want this listed as soon as possible.
Fantastic. So all in all, your profit will probably be about $35,000?
About, yeah.
Yeah, and you'll split that with your partner.
And I'll split that with
my partner. That's awesome. See, yeah. See, and it was piece of cake, right?
Yeah, this one's moving pretty quickly, which is
piece
fantastic.
Of cake.
And
you didn't even, you don't have to do much.
She didn't need to go there, which is the most amazing thing, right?
Yeah, right.
So this is a great deal.
Yeah.
I like it. Fantastic.
I agree.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm excited. So from this, what I want to do is... So I'm 50-50 on buying more REOs. Not that I don't want to buy them. I do. I want to start moving into southeastern the U.S., like Alabama, Kentucky, Carolina, the Carolinas, you know, maybe Louisiana. I want to look at some of the... Stop. Let me finish. Okay. Omri's trying to interrupt me.
We got to mute Omri. Hold on.
Okay. So I want to do that, but one of the things that... Thanks, Kimmy. One of the things that I want to do is I was thinking about the REOs, you know, because the REOs, you get them at 40 or 50 cents on the dollar. But in those states, a lot of them are tax deed states. So what I want to do is maybe take a couple days and go down there and start, you know, building up a team down there. One of the things that Dan's always talking about and looking to see what tax deed properties are out there. Because if I can get a tax deed property for $4,000 or $5,000, build a team and get contractors out there and then, you know, sell them, that might be, you know, and hold the note on them. That's a whole other thing, but hold the note on them and get some passive income. So that's where I'm leaning. So that's where this first Illinois property is making my head go.
So let me explain to the audience exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
So what she would like to do is she'd like to buy these properties very cheaply, and she's talking about buying them tax deeds, $4,000 or $5,000. She renovates them, and she could either rent it. It's funny. She could renovate them and rent them, or renovate them and not rent them, but renovate them, and then sell them to an investor,
right?
And then finance the investor. So now she sells the property. Let's say she sells it for $75,000.
She becomes the bank.
And she becomes the bank. And she does financing. So maybe they give her $20,000 up front, and she finances the other $55,000. So far it's cost her $4,000 plus the rehab, maybe $20,000. Yeah. She gets all that money back immediately as a down payment.
Right.
Then she gets monthly payments from the person who finances it or buys it from her that she finances with.
Amazing.
And she has the mortgage on the property, so if they don't pay, she gets the property back, and she gets to do it again.
Yep.
And if they do pay, so what? She gets residual income.
Right. Exactly.
And she got residual income from, so she lent them $55,000 of money she never had. Think about that. So she never, the money was created out of thin air because the property value went up. Then she sold it to someone and financed it. So they didn't have the money. She didn't have the money, but she gets payments on it, $55,000. And let's say it's a 20-year amortization schedule. I don't know, what are you going to charge, 10%?
Yeah.
8%, 10%, whatever, right?
Yeah, no less than 7%, but right. You should probably rent it. Because when you sell or finance, you do at a higher interest rate.
So
10%.
Well, it's an incredible way to
get rich.
To get rich, yeah, exactly. To get cash flow.
So my goal is to get like X amount of cash flow every month so that I can start, you know, traveling the world and just having fun and doing what I want. That's the goal.
You don't do that now?
I don't travel the world as much as I want.
I just
want to
make sure you had fun.
Yeah, I have fun, but I don't travel the world yet, you know. Well, I have to go on vacation like you do every week. You know,
I didn't go. I wasn't going on vacation. I was going out to meet people, like, you know, Tucker Carlson. I was hanging out with Tucker Carlson.
I was hanging out
with Charles Payne. You know, I have a reputation to keep. I need people to know who I'm out there. You know, I mean, you know, my picture with Trump just isn't good enough for people anymore.
No. So, how hard it is to get those lists that are more local?
To get
here,
what?
To get those lists.
You can go online and get them. Haven't you ever seen my presentation on tax liens and deeds?
Of course.
Okay, so
But this is something different.
No,
I'm talking about the REO.
Oh, the REO, you have to start making connections with asset managers.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then I'm asking how hard it is to get things that are more here, more local, for people that are in the Philadelphia area.
Here's what I would say about buying REOs in the Philadelphia market. I'd say don't do it.
Okay.
Really? Why?
Because the market is so high?
It's so expensive.
It's so expensive
to do it here.
Well, I'm not talking about Philadelphia. I'm talking about our area, for example.
Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey. So let's say I go to Alabama and I buy a house. And if I am doing it with REO, let's say I'm buying a house for $25,000. Okay, let's just say I'm buying it for $25,000. And the house, when it's done, it's worth maybe $100,000. Okay? Mm-hmm. If you get a property here in Pennsylvania, your house is going to be worth $400,000, so now you're paying $100,000 or $125,000, or maybe the $150,000 just to get the REO, and then you have to put whatever into it. So you're starting at a much different price point. So why are you going to throw out? Why go for something that's so expensive when you can get something so much cheaper? But that's me, because maybe it's because I'm coming from the tax deed background where I'm buying properties for $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000. I haven't. The most I ever spent on a tax deed auction was $90,000. That was the most, and the property is worth like $225,000 or something. Okay, that's the most I ever spent. But the cheapest, I got two properties once for $5,500. I want to stay with that cheaper price point, and then I can
get a good tenant
in there, sell it to a turnkey investor, and just sell it off, and then hold that mortgage back and get some cash flow. That's where I'm going right now. That's where I'm thinking.
We talked about that this week. We never believed that the market would go so high. We never believed it would reach that point.
What, the point it's now? Oh, you talked about the stock market itself?
No. I'm talking about the value.
We've had a couple of different conversations this week about markets.
Well, I can tell you right now that my house right now, I couldn't afford it.
Yeah, that's what I said, right? That's exactly what I said. You couldn't sell your house and afford it again. You could, but you're different. But you wouldn't pay that much is really what the point is, right?
I would never pay as much as what my house is worth right
and
now.
And that's what is happening. That's why there's so little inventory. Yeah. So real quick, so if anybody's listening out there, this is what we teach. We teach these things. Anybody want to learn how to invest in real estate? Anybody want to learn how to do what Dr. Deb is about to do? Create money out of thin air? That's what we do.
Amazing.
Come to Investor Schooling. Go to investorschooling.com and sign up for classes Thursday. Investorschooling.com. And if you have any questions, you can feel free to call in right now. 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137. And Kimmy online is saying this is a great show today.
Yeah.
You know why it's a great show today?
Because finally we talk about real estate.
No, the real reason is because you kept not interrupting.
So again, it's me.
It's always you, Omri. Come on.
Come on. So, aren't you used to everybody blaming you for everything?
Yeah, I know, because I'm another immigrant here. So
you're an immigrant?
Yeah.
Right. Did you come here legally?
Today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you in the United States legally?
Yeah, of course.
Come Why? On. You could have come here for not legally, and you could have got free health care.
Let's not go politic. Yeah, I know. It depends what border you come. If you land in JFK, you need to do it right.
Oh yeah, really?
Yeah, that's. Oh, okay. If you land in Mexico and you come by foot, it's a different story.
Well, you know what you should have done?
Yeah.
You should have went to Arizona.
Yeah.
And then had them, oh, I'm sorry, Texas.
Yeah.
And had them bus you to New York, and then we could have picked you up.
Anyway, exactly. Anyway.
And that's what Dr. Deb does. Dr. Deb keeps us back on track.
This is what I do.
We just got a compliment, and we completely ruined it.
All right. So if you have any questions, feel free to call in. 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137. I'm Larry Steinhaus. I'm here with Dr. Deb, and I'm here with Omri, and we are talking about
REO
and real estate.
Cool. Yes.
I'm really excited about that. I'm going to go off on a tangent
for a minute. Did you see that the stock market hit a new high? Whoa.
What do you see?
This week, the stock market hit a new high, which is surprising. Like, it was there for a second. It didn't finish high. But it hit a new high. It was crazy. It was like I was shocked to see it, that we are back there again. And the VIX is below 13. So for you guys who don't know what the VIX is, it's, to make it simple, it's a fear gauge. And 12-13 is very low. So it means that the market is not scared anymore. So we are pretty much back to normal to where we were in 2019. Now, for you guys who don't know, oh yeah, Christian, come on. You missed the ridiculous? So Christian is one of our students. He goes, I'm coming back. I missed the ridiculous. What do you mean by ridiculous? Ridiculous what?
He's talking about Larry. There's no question there, right?
I guess so. Yeah, probably. So he's one of our students. By the way, he made $150,000 trading stock options.
Oh, my God.
His first, I don't know, year he was here, which was an incredible amount of money. Don't quote me on that, but it was like 100, it might have been more, but I just want to let you know, that's an amazing amount of money that somebody made in stock options when I taught them how to do it. So for you guys who don't know, I don't know, if you had a TD Ameritrade account, they switched over to Charles Schwab.
Yeah.
And now, so it's interesting, we did a class on Thursday about Charles Schwab, and yesterday, it's funny because I wish I did the class one day or later, or I wish I would have figured out what I figured out yesterday.
Yeah.
One day earlier.
Yes, correct.
Because I'm going to do it again on Thursday.
What
because
now?
Because I found something that made the Charles Schwab online system so much easier.
The app or the computer?
The computer. The app is still terrible.
Okay.
But online now, I figured out how to find all the stuff that I was looking for in the TD Ameritrade. It's hidden. And once you unlock it and once you find it, it makes it a lot easier. It's still not as easy as TD Ameritrade app, online system, but it's so much. It's like, all right, so now if the TD Ameritrade was an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10, now that I found what I found, this is probably like a 6.5, 7. So we're pretty close to making it easier to trade in the Charles Schwab app. So if you're in Charles Schwab online. So anybody...
Because I bought Hertz. Remember I was telling you I bought Hertz and it's down, but you asked me what my strike price was. I couldn't find it. I don't even know.
I know you can't find it.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was. Yeah, I know I lost, but I don't know.
It's so hard to find. I know.
Yeah, I didn't know what the
strike price
was.
I'll have to show you how to find it because you're right. It's exactly what it is. It's so hard to find this stuff where TD Ameritrade used to be so easy. You saw it, but now you can't. You don't see it as easily, but you can also adjust it. We'll talk about that. They've also made some changes.
Charles Schwab
said they were going to make some changes, and some changes have shown up that have made it a little bit better. So I definitely, look, we're stuck with it anyway. There's nothing we can do. We can't use the TD Ameritrade stuff. You can use Thinkorswim if you like it. I really haven't studied that one, I use the other one. So we'll see if we could do it. So if anybody wants to know how to trade in the Charles Schwab app, I'm going to bring it up again this coming Thursday. That's not going to be the entire session now. It's only about 15 minutes. A lot of it's going to be about real estate, how to buy houses with no money, how to invest, how to build your credit. We talk about all kinds of cool stuff. All right, I'm over. I got 942,750 now.
You're still not up to 10, man.
I'm still not up to a million now. I know. It blew my mind. It blew my mind. All right, look, Christian says he has to come back because he's lost in Schwab. All right, Christian, come back on Thursday, and we'll talk. You can come back Monday, too. You can come back to the Monday Mastermind because you're already a student. And come back, and we'll have to renew you, too. We haven't seen you in a while. So come back, and we'll see you then.
What about Fidelity? What's your
experience? Fidelity's okay, too.
Yeah.
But now that I saw what I saw in Charles Schwab, and the fact that they moved everything to Charles Schwab anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but the funny part is the Fidelity online is easier. I'm sorry, the app is easier.
Yeah.
Right? But the online with Schwab, once you understand it, it's probably easier than Fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is. You know, what are you going to do? I hate change, you know?
We all do.
You know, when I look in the mirror and I see that, you know, I'm not young and skinny anymore. That's probably the biggest change I hate. I go, you know, I look in the mirror and go, wow, I used to have hair. Wow, I used to be young. Wow, I used to, like, you know, I used to be able to, I feel, listen carefully because you might have to beep this, but I don't think you do. You know, I didn't have to take Viagra to see where I pee.
I'm in like the same size pants I was when I was in high school. I'm excited about that. So I've gotten older and I look better. Yeah. Well, actually, like, maybe not
She's
high school, but before
in the
kids.
Eye.
Listen,
before
I'm at
kids,
the point.
Before kids, I fit into the same pants.
I'm at the point I'm glad to see that my
your goal.
Wait, let me see if I put it this way. My fat pants are now my skinny pants.
Okay.
We were doing a film the other day, right? So Sterling and I are doing a commercial. We're filming a commercial for Facebook ads.
Right.
And he plays me back the commercial. Look, I go, damn, I can't believe how fat I am. And he goes, I go, can you cut my stomach out? And I looked at him, I said, hey, can you make it like, so, you know, like the like those pictures the that they out. Have on what are those apps for dating? What are
Tinder?
Dating apps?
Tinder?
Whatever, Tinder or whatever, yeah. What, you know, Match.com, right? You know, the way the women only show their head.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
I'm like, can you crop it so it looks like that?
And put me on Sylvester Stallone's body or something.
Exactly, right. That's I mean, funny. Really. All right. So you guys know if you want to come to class, 855. Blah, blah, blah. No, if you want to come to class, go to investorschooling.com. Investorschooling.com. Of course, you can come to class. So we've got about a minute. You guys want to talk about anything in a minute?
I don't know. I'm good. What about
Let's talk about this great collar that he brought in.
Okay.
So Army.
Challah.
Yeah, challah.
Challah.
Yeah, I thought you said challah.
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 It's like you say Hannah, but she's Hannah.
So this is the problem, right? So, you know,
we don't have
You know how?
We don't have.
So in order to come from Israel, you got to go. Well, that was a good waste of 40 seconds.
And it's also, yeah. We can all eat challah and chew the microphone.
He brings challah in right before we start to talk. Most of the time, challah is dry. So, you know, it's really hard to do a radio show when you're eating dry food. Look, he just shoved his mouth, which is perfect, because now I can do the closing without him interrupting me. This is fantastic. So I want to thank everybody for listening. This is Larry Steinhaus. We have Dr. Deb. He's trying to too fast. We have Omri here as well. And, of course, I want to thank Phil Almquist for taking care of us today and being our awesome producer today. We miss Glenn, but if we have to have a second to Glenn, Phil has to be the guy. Phil Almquist is fantastic. Thank you so much. And, of course, if you want to come to class this week, go to investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. And you'll get to take a complimentary class this Thursday.
Please
and
come.
And you get to learn how to buy real estate with no money and invest in the stock market. Take care.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh. nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.